Welcome to the Awake Church Podcast. At Awake, our mission is simple. Know God, take action. We pray this podcast will help you on that journey.
Good morning. How's everybody? Good. Well, we're going to have a continuation of Lamb, in a sense. Here today, we have some, Barry and Lori Byrne with us today. So they lead Lamb. They lead a ministry called Nothing Hidden Ministries, and Lamb is a part of that, which means love after marriage. If you hadn't heard about that yet, they also do workshops for singles and really focus a lot on relationships. Relationships between man and woman in a marriage, relationships between one another, and, you know, God's perspective, the whole thing started in him making the world and then making man and woman was to have relationship with us and him, and then Adam and Eve together. And then, of course, the Lord says that the second greatest commandment is to love each other. So the relationships are huge on this planet. And so I want to invite them to go ahead and come on up. Barry has been a marriage and family therapist for over 30 years, so he's a professional at this. In addition to the spiritual aspect, Lori comes from, I think, fourth generation pastor family. So she has a pastoral gift, prophetic gift. And so we want to hear from them. I've asked them to speak about some of the relational things that the Lord has given them to help us with tools. I think everybody in here today, whether you're single or married, the Lord wants to speak to us and help us today. So thank you for coming. It's all yours.
Thank you, Matt. Thank you very much. So that's pretty cool. You guys understand what Lamb is, huh? Love after marriage. Yeah, we've been here. I think this is our fifth time here. And I'm very thankful for Awake Church because I saw your hands raised, and a lot of your hands shows a lot of you have been through love after marriage already. But I think there was about a third of the people from Awake Church here this last week. And so two-thirds were from other places. And it's a lot of work. Setting up that conference. We call it a workshop because we make people work. And we really do. Is that true? Anybody want to disagree with that? And because it really is how you learn it. And anyway, I just am so thankful for this church that is willing to invest way beyond the church for marriages and stuff. Yeah. And secondly, for us to come here, when I don't really practice individual counseling much at all now, but when I did, I was very particular about who I would refer somebody to. And so your pastor is trusting all of you into our hands this morning, and we're going to do our best we can to represent the Lord to you today.
We also really feel like you guys are family to us. We haven't gotten to be with all you, but the people that we are with that are from you have just made us feel so welcome, and they have just, we feel like we're a team. We get to become a part of your team when we come. And we love that you love marriages, and that is so important because you take out a marriage, you take out a family. And you know, we are in some of the greatest time. We're heading into the greatest revival the world has ever seen. Do you guys believe that too? We believe that. And our pastor, Pastor Bill Johnson, he said back in 2021, he says, we're coming into the greatest revival the world has ever seen, and the way that it will be carried will be through family. And so Amen. Even you guys hosting us, you know, like you've done, I think it's been five times, right? That is just unbelievable that just your heart to sow into that. We love it. So thank you.
All right. So today we started thinking about what we're going to talk about, and our workshops are usually organized. We take people, you know, from start to finish kind of in a point, and we only have a little bit of time with you. We really want to try to inspire you. We want to inspire you for more today, for more especially in your life, in your marriage, in your family, your relationships with God. And so, Lord, I just ask that you will give us grace today to represent you well, that every person here will leave with more hope in you and what you can do for them, what you can be to them, than they came in with today. And I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. I do want to say, Matt mentioned I'm a professional. Well, in my opinion, what I've learned from the Lord is way more value than what I ever learned from a university. This is another whole topic, but I have to mention it. The best the world can do is try to find principles of the kingdom and present them, but you get the best you can get is some of the kingdom without the king. For us who know the king and know the kingdom, we can get so much more of the kingdom than the world can ever get. So my professional training, it moves more and more into the background. And what we want you to see today and receive is that we know you're a Holy Ghost church, okay? We know you know the Holy Spirit. We want you to be able to bring them into your home. Bring them into your marriage. Bring them into your parenting. Bring them into your relationship before you're married. Bring them into your friendships. And see the power of presence of God in your life and day-to-day life. And that's what we've been practicing and trying to do in our life, and that's what we want to lead people into. So Lori's the best storyteller of our two. She's going to start telling some stories. We're going to try to teach some things through these stories of real life stories of what God has done.
And we have only had the opportunity to do Lamb at your church, but we also do something called Single Life Workshop, which is really preparing people for marriage. Ultimately, it's helping them be able to get free of things in their past. And there's a lot of inner healing type stuff that we do that even helps them just to have good, healthy relationships. But it's really getting our singles ready for marriage. And so we want to share some testimonies of things that have happened with married couples from Lamb. But we also want to share, how many singles do we have in the room? Can you guys all raise your hands? Big high. Yeah? Okay. We also want to share, it's hard for me to see with the lights, but we want to share some single stories too, because the Lord is just wanting to change us all. And so we're excited to be able to do that. Did you want to say anything? Okay. We were in Paris, France, and there was a young girl there who, actually we were doing a workshop there, a Single Life workshop. And she came up to us after we'd done some sessions, and she says, you know what? I have this issue that I have never been able to get rid of. I have tried everything. And she says, it is so debilitating. She says, all the time, it just comes. I never know when it's going to come, but off and on, I see sexual images and sexual pictures and just stuff that I don't want to be seen in my mind's eye. It can come when I'm walking on the street. It can come when I'm in the car. And she goes, I want it gone. And so, you know, she was probably in her, I bet she was in her early, maybe mid-20s. And so many times when we don't know, that's all we know. We said, you know what? And we only have a little bit of time. We said, you know what? Let's ask Jesus to take you back to the memory when this thing first started coming to you. Because this isn't you. You're not losing your mind. This is spiritual. This is something demonic that is trying to steal your peace and steal your life. And so we asked her to just close her eyes, and we asked them to repeat the prayer, because you know what? It's not going to be us that is going to deliver. It's going to be them as they pray, and we want to always be teaching people how to pray. So she closed her eyes, and we said, Holy Spirit, and she repeated, would you take me back to the memory when these images first came to me? And we were shocked, because as she opened her mouth, and only would she know this by her spirit, her mind, her will, and her emotions, she would not know this from her own soul. But she said, this is crazy, but I see myself in a crib, and I'm a baby. And she says, I'm in the room with my father, and he has the TV on. And then she goes on, and she says, my father has molested children in real life. He's never done it to me, but that's what he is. And there's a name that I'm not going to say. That's what he is. And she said, I am in this room, and he is watching something on TV. And the Lord is showing me that it's not good stuff. And she says, all of a sudden, when she was there, then she was telling us what was going on. And then we said this. We said, let's invite Jesus into this memory. And so she said, Jesus, would you come and be with me in this memory? Now, all this is going on. You know, this is going on in her mind. But you know what? In a minute, we realize, I'm going to tell you the whole story, it is not really just going on in her mind. And so Jesus comes into the room. And when Jesus shows up, it's kind of like we just disappear. We don't want to sit there and talk. We don't want to try to pastor her through this. We want Jesus to be speaking to her. And he is, and she starts laughing. And so we're going, why are you laughing? You know, we want to know what's going on. And she says, Jesus just came in, and he's in a big white robe, and he's holding his arms out like this, and he's standing between my dad and the television over here and me and the crib. And it's like he's blocking the television, and all of a sudden, a projector comes from heaven, and it's shining baby movies on Jesus's chest. And we go, baby movies? And that's what she was laughing about, because she was a baby. And it was, I don't know what it was. We didn't ask what it was, but she goes, it's baby movies. And she's still laughing. Well, you know what? We realized she was actually there. Did you know God is out of time? Did you know he can do whatever he wants to do to bring healing to us? We didn't know he would do all this when we started this ministry. But she was in that room as that baby. And she was receiving not only entertainment from the baby movies, but I believe the Lord was healing her and giving her back her childhood and her innocence. And you know, after she watched the baby movies, Jesus reaches in, picks her up out of the crib, and walks her out of the room. And all of a sudden, the walls disappear, and they're outside, and they're in the sun, and that's how she remembers. That's the vision. Well, the biggest thing, that next day, we had to go ahead and finish teaching, and I think, I don't know if we even saw her that evening, but the next day she came back, and she goes, it's gone. She goes, every bit of the images that have been in my head that I've had my whole life are gone. She goes, I'm free. Jesus set me free. Isn't that so cool? Thank you, Lord.
That actually reminded me of another story. This one was in Germany, and we were doing a single life workshop. A young lady came up after the first day or so, and we were doing like 4 days. And she said, I've heard all this stuff already. I go to counseling, and I've been in counseling for months, and this isn't helping. There's nothing new that I'm learning. And at first, I just made a comment. I said, well, we have 3 more days, so just kind of wait and see what God does. And I started to walk away, and then I'm sure the Lord put this thought in my head, and I went back to her, and I said, ask the Lord to show you what you don't know yet. What you haven't seen yet. Because that's the issue. There's some things you needed to know to see. And I told her that and walked away. On the very last day, at noon, she came up and she said, "The Lord reminded me of an incident in my life. When I was a little girl, me and my friend, I went over to my girlfriend's house, and her dad, we were going swimming in our bathing suits, and her dad just rubbed suntan lotion on us. Does not remember anything sexual, anything inappropriately sexual happening. But she said, since that time, something happened. And we went back again to the memory. And the Lord, what we saw, and this is interesting, you need to know this, sometimes without an actual physical touch or inappropriate touch, sexual spirit can be transmitted. Just in the, especially for a person who has a very sensitive spirit, can pick that thing up and not know if it's them, if it's just something that, and so from that, she just felt, I just don't feel comfortable in my own flesh. I don't like my body. I don't feel comfortable. And so I could, for both of these situations, I could begin, a typical therapist, what we'd begin doing is asking questions. Well, when did this happen? When did it go back? And what did you feel? And when and you start just analyzing. But I want you to look at this verse. This is quoting from the Old Testament. So this is Old Testament and New Testament saying, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard and which has not entered into the heart of man, all that the Lord has prepared for those who love him. All of that, what we see with our eyes, understand with our heart, and hear with our ears, that is what the world can give us. That is what our natural self, our carnal self can get. What it does not give us is, for to us God has revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. So what are we missing if we do not learn to listen to the Spirit of God? And if you look in 1 Corinthians 1 and 2, it talks about the difference. The wisdom of man is foolishness to God. And I don't know exactly what this is, but it said, Paul wrote, the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of God. There's just no comparison. And so we can use the wisdom of man, and there's places and times where we need it. But when it comes to finding out what God has planned for us, what God wants to do, what God, the power of God, how he wants to work, the wisdom of man won't get us there. Now, if you come to me and want to be my gardener, I want you to know the wisdom of man about how to fertilize and how to mow and all that. If you want to build my house, I want you to know the wisdom of man and how to build a house. But when it comes to all that God has planned for us in our lives and the things on the inside, we need to access the Spirit of God.
I feel like one of the things that we have said in our workshops that is, I was thinking about it as we were thinking about ministering to all of you, it really is, it's a little verse that we made up for life. And we said, one of the things that we ask when you come into this workshop, there's only one rule, that you share what Holy Spirit is telling you to share. Think of that. Think of going through the day and your interaction with people and your interaction at home, your interaction at school or at work or whatever. Share what Holy Spirit tells you to share. And then, the important part, do what he tells you to do. And I just want to release that over you, because that is a very, very simple little thing that we do. But it leads people to listen to Holy Spirit, and it also opens the door for relationship and connection to be done in a very, very powerful way. And so I want to challenge you with that, to just share what Holy Spirit tells you to share and then do what he tells you to do, and just try that for a couple days. See what happens, and see how, when you have something like that in your mind where you're letting Holy Spirit in, he will come.
Our oldest grandson, he's 11, almost 12 years old, and he was diagnosed on the autism spectrum. And as he's gotten older, he's had some worse symptoms of screaming and crying out, and He even some he's they spent thousands of dollars on treatments, different treatments for him, and none of them lasted, and one of them made him a lot worse. And it's just been so hard. And they pray and pray. The thing that
I just want to say this too. He has no friends now. He has lost every friend. I didn't know you were going to share this, but it's good.
So it's been really, really hard.
It's been a hard thing to watch him live his life. He's 11 years old, and there has been so much good that God has done in this that he is equally teaching him how to take authority in the spirit realm over the demonic that is influencing his life. And it's just crazy good. But
so over the last year, the thing that has helped the most out of all the medical treatments and everything, the supplements and all kinds of things they've tried, quoting the scripture has what helped him the most. And his mom printed out a whole bunch of scripture verses for him. He named it his weaponry. And when he would start to get out of control, he would go and read his scripture verses. Now, we don't know all the reasons why, but since the first of the year, things started getting worse, really worse. And then last night, actually, after we were done with Love After Marriage, Lori read this. It was a long voicemail from Shannon. Yeah. You want to summarize that?
But I have to say this too, that he has really learned. And we also got connected. How many of you know who Andrew Womack is? We got connected to him when a bunch of things started happening physically that we just needed to be able to have the Word of God be paramount, even more so in our lives. And so Shannon, his mom.
Let me say one more thing. I forgot the reason why I wanted to say that. Yeah, this is what we do. the reason I wanted to tell this story is because it's so close to home. It's so current last night. But you'll see, this is how we have to live.
Yeah.
You can learn it and go out of here and you will not be changed. You stay in your comfort zone and don't try to do anything new. Take a risk with the Lord. The listening to a voice, the still small voice, is foolishness to the world. Saying God told me or I heard from God is foolish to the world, the secular world. But as Christians, it's the wisdom of God. And this is how we really work the things that we teach other people. We do them. We have done them in our lives. So that's the point. And this is an example right now with our daughter-in-law.
This is a miracle because she has never wanted to homeschool. She's thought, ugh, that is the last thing I want to do is homeschool. And also their youngest daughter has been diagnosed at the same time with type 1 diabetes, where they're having to give her shots all throughout the day. And there's a whole bunch of things that are going on with that. Well, the Lord has changed her heart. He has turned her into the most amazing. It's going to make me cry again. But she is sitting there. She has her own curriculum, but she's connected with, you know, she works with other people that are doing this. But she is teaching them God's word. They have worship every morning. They listen to Andrew Womack. Those little kids are listening to Andrew Womack. They can quote him. And they are, but more importantly, they're quoting the Bible. They're worshiping. They're praying in tongues. And something will start coming on him, and he'll go, excuse me, and he'll go upstairs, and he has to go get his weaponry, and he will go up there and read scripture, and that demon will leave. The torment that's coming, the anxiety that's coming, all of the harassment that comes with this, it will leave. And one time he went up to his room again, and he just yells at the devil and commands him to go, and he goes. And one time Shannon was going, Deacon, because she didn't know he was yelling at the devil. She thought he was yelling at his brother. And she goes, Deacon, you need to let me know when you're going to yell at the devil, because she was, you know, she made him go to his room. And he, anyway. But So all this is going on, and he is really changing. He's praying for people. They're getting healed. He's realizing the authority that he has. Well, this last spell that came up, it has been trying to keep him from reading the Word of God. It's gotten so bad. And he even has said in this time, he recognizes what's going on. He told his mom on this little video, this little voicemail, that he says, "You know what, Mommy? This is like what's happening to my body is 10 times worse than it was last year. Like the enemy is trying so hard." And he's not wanting to read his scripture. It's just that he is so taken over by this thing. And so Shannon, you know, they spent time praying. Their whole family, she and our son Caleb, they were praying, and nothing was happening. And so she goes downstairs, and she says, do you remember?
Kind of. She goes, she really kind of had a heart-to-heart with the Lord. And she said, what was the first thing? She says, "Oh, Lord, I'm going to ask you a question. I need you to answer me." And she says,
"I expect you to answer me," is what she said.
"Your name has to mean something. When we speak in your name, it has to mean something. When we pray your words, it has to mean something. We need you, Lord, to give us an answer here."
Yep. And you know, that could sound kind of, I don't know what, irreverent or presumptuous, but it was exactly what God wanted her to do, because you know what? He answered her right away. He told her, he says, "Get some oil and go and anoint him." Anoint his head.
Yeah.
And you know, they've done things like this before, but when you ask the Lord, he's telling you in that moment, it's for that time.
Now, so how intelligent does that sound? Your child is out of control, and well, they've been praying, but now you go put oil on his head, you know, and anoint him and pray.
So she goes and she puts oil on his head, and she begins to pray over him. And as the words keep coming out of her mouth, all the everything, like he can't, he was having, what did she say, body tremors. Like his whole body was going like this. And as she starts, after she anointed him, and she start, her words now are getting in, and he just calms. Within 5 minutes, he is totally calmed down and in his right mind. And so we have, yes, you can thank the Lord for that. We are in a battle, and you know, we have been in this battle because when we do this ministry, we get flack from the enemy. We have stuff coming against us, but so do our kids. And none of us are giving up. They know this. They're pressing in even more. And what God is teaching our children and our grandchildren, as hard as this, it's been the hardest 2 years of our lives ever. But we would not trade it for anything, because God is taking the curse and he's really turning it into a blessing. And we're not out of it yet. But we have peace. I said this in staff meeting one day, and I started crying because we're right in the middle of it. And Steve Backlund goes, "Lori, you need to record that and send it out to all of us. Because I'm telling a testimony that is not finished. You know, I can't tell, oh, and we're all doing fine." No, we're still in the process.
I want to give you another story. And this is a married couple. It's kind of funny. We were doing Love After Marriage. It was in Colorado, up in the mountains. Anybody know of Hot Sulphur Springs, Colorado? That's where we were doing it, up the mountains. And the group was primarily, came from real conservative evangelical background. And so this was really, what we were talking about was a stretch for them. And this one husband came and signed up. their names, him and his wife, to come up front to do our inner healing up front in front of the whole group.
Which people would probably rather have a root canal than do that.
Yeah. It's very vulnerable, obviously, but it's a wonderful thing what God does, more than we'd ever expected in terms of bringing the body together. So he signs up their names, and the wife comes up and scratches them out. Well, he goes up a second time and writes their names. His wife's up a second time.
Scratches it out.
And he told me this, and I go, why don't you wait until she's ready? And so they had their names. But it was really of the Lord, because she felt like we should do this together as husband and wife. And that's what we want to get to you is this isn't just for a ministry to come to you. This is something for you to learn for your life. So the Christian couple love the Lord. They go home, and they said they're in their car, and they start praying in their car before they went into wherever they were staying there. And for some reason, I'm thinking it was a little Volkswagen. I'm not sure if it was or not. But we said, well, we'll just kind of try to do what Barry and Lori did when they were praying with people. And what it was is this: the girl, throughout her life, she would just like almost daily have thoughts and fears of dying.
She would literally have voices in her head telling her to run out in the street and get run over by a car.
Yeah. So they just started talking and asking the Lord, and the husband describes it. We actually have the story they told on video.
I just remembered something else. It also caused her to not want to read Bible stories to her kids because she felt like she was so... there was something so wrong with her. And she goes, how can I read this to my children and be having these thoughts and be so depressed?
Yeah. So they're in their car and they start praying. And the husband says, it's like Jesus was in the back seat, just like this, hovering over us and leading us in it. And then he said, at one point, it's like the whole car got cold, or she got cold.
She got caught. She was, he would touch.
They felt it was really cold, but she did not feel cold at a touch, but they could just feel cold come into the room.
Yeah. And they knew that it was the spirit of death.
They asked
and
the Lord.
We can't tell the whole reason how it got there, but.
It was an incident from when she was young,
yeah,
where she almost choked on something. And they asked the Lord, and he said, it's a spirit of death. It kind of scared them, but they had to keep going. And we don't have to be scared. We don't have to be afraid either. And all authority in heaven on earth has been given to Jesus. Jesus has placed his head over us, over the church. We have him over us. If we do not fear, we can actually access the head.
Yeah.
That was extra. So they're praying, and they said, we had to tell that spirit of death to leave twice. And it left. And they got up at the end.
Next day, they come and she gives the testimony. Yeah. And she reads from, I think it was Psalm 116, when the cords of death were around me. And, you know, it was like the Lord just gave her. She just opened her Bible. And there was her story right there. And the Lord delivered me.
Yeah. So, we have people all around us living with things like this, inside this church, sitting next to you, coming to church, and doing the best they can to follow the Lord and hold things together. And one of the reasons why we call our ministry Nothing Hidden, it describes the Greek word for truth, to not hide, not conceal. And as long as we hide and conceal things, you know, there's two things that are necessary. As long as we hide and conceal things, we don't have a chance of anybody helping us with those things. But the other thing we need on the other side of our needing help is we need people who know how to help us, who know how to access the Spirit of God, who know how to listen to God, who know how to help us with the internal battles, the spiritual battles, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. And yet we do, way, way too much. But that is not where we should be wrestling. but against spiritual forces, principalities of darkness, spiritual forces in the air that we cannot see and we can only know by the Spirit of God. But we need people who not only know about this, but who have lived it. Not just given an intellectual understanding, oh, this is the spirit realm, but have lived it, who have seen, who have gained authority over their in their own lives to say, we pray against things and we see them go. We see them gone.
Yeah.
I won't go any farther with that. I will go a little bit further. If it's just intellectual, guess what will happen when it doesn't work? There's going to be another intellectual answer as to why it didn't work. Instead of, and sometimes it gets destructive, like, oh, you just need more faith. Oh, you just need that and that. Instead of saying, okay, Lord, what else is it? What else, God? I know what it's like to battle this. What else do we need for this person? Like I told that girl, ask the Lord what you don't know yet. And we're just in this together, fighting together. So we need to have a place, and you guys have Awake Freedom here at this church, where you can go and people are trained to help deal with things like this in the spirit realm. And when that is what is needed, that is what is where you have to get the help. And so there's the first being willing to open up and tell the truth about what's going on. And you find people that are able to learn. We have some simple tools that work. You don't have to get a bachelor's degree or a master's or a doctorate to be able to use them. Many parents, adults, couples who have been to Love After Marriage teach their kids these things and use them with their kids. The second thing is everything we do is in community in small groups. And
why do you do it?
Because you suggested it when we started the ministry.
I did not.
It really was your idea.
But you know what? You say it's mine.
It was a good idea.
But I wouldn't have thought of that.
It was God's idea?
Yes.
Okay, it was God's idea.
I want to give him credit.
But God spoke to her.
We had a dream. We got this whole ministry from a dream. And after I had the dream, which is, I won't tell you the dream, but he interpreted it. And after he gave the interpretation, the Lord just gave us this whole download. And he said, I want you to do this and this and this, but I want you to make small little families, little small groups, and you're going to teach, and then you're going to activate it because, and this is what we've learned, what did he tell you why you needed to give up your practice and do this full time? Because?
Yeah. That goes way back, actually. Another story. But I think I can do this really quick. Years and years back, I was praying for the Lord. I was executive director of a nonprofit counseling center down in Southern California, and I was praying for an opportunity. I thought, man, I'd really like to minister in the church and like be in a counselor in the church. And instead, the Lord gave me a vision for the church, and that is the church should be doing this. Instead of the church referring out to counselors, secular counselors, other counselors, the church with the Lord, with the power of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, and those who have a pastoral anointing, a gift of wisdom, a prophetic gifting, can be doing these things. And so that was all part of it. And most of the healing that goes on in one of our workshops, Single Life Workshop, Love After Marriage Workshop, or we do inner healing training in small groups, most of the healing happens in the small groups. It's not us up front doing it. It's training people to do it. Mm-hmm. And so...
And what the Lord showed you, and it's what we see when somebody is in a small group and the Holy Spirit is getting them vulnerable because they're sharing what Holy Spirit's telling them to share and they're doing what he's telling them to do, they will share this thing that they swore they would never tell anybody, that they would take to their grave, because they're feeling safe. And when that happens, and they look around at the eyeballs of the people that are in their small group, there is no condemnation. Why? Because they've opened up, and people are there to have Holy Spirit leading them, and Holy Spirit accesses that small group to become a healing womb for people to then get healed from all the other things that the Lord is going to bring up. And you know, he brings stuff up. You know, sometimes people are going, oh my gosh, you know, this and this and this is happening. We're going, that's great, because the Lord is bringing it up so he can get it out.
And it's safe because we help them, like in our workshops, we help them learn to fight the right fight. Mm-hmm. It's you're fighting against spiritual forces, not against each other. And we know how to do, you help them learn how to do that without being condemning or judging and judgmental and anything like that.
And it ends up, there's no shame. That's what the Lord told Barry. It's better to do it within the body, because when you look and you see people right next to you, there is no shame, and you can see it, you can feel it, you can taste it, and it heals you quicker than if you were doing a one-on-one, honestly.
We have experienced that, and the Holy Spirit heals things so much quicker. And another way of saying that is I found that people sharing and praying and working together in small groups is much more powerful than individual counseling to get rid of shame. When you are in a community like Lori was describing, and you see a group of people who know and understand and care about you, it's just more powerful. The last thing, and it's not the least important by any means, is we have to get used to asking Holy Spirit to speak instead of us speaking. Because when we speak on our own, we may have the words of God, and it may be God's truth, but when a person hears from Holy Spirit, there's a power that is released that is almost always greater than what we can give. And when a person can't hear, we may need to say it. Sometimes we hear something from the Lord for them, and we give it to them. But there's many, many times, when, as a counselor, when you're trained as a counselor, and it's been over 40 years since I started counseling, and I could always think of something to say. I could always think of something to ask.
Me too.
But I give you this example real quick. We had, years ago, we invited a drug addict into our home. And the Lord led us to do that. We led him to the Lord. And one night, he shared this story with us. We were talking to him, and the Lord took him back to memory. He was a meth addict, and he was working and stuff. He wasn't like on the streets, but
and he'd had an affair against his wife.
Yeah. And anyway, we were praying with him, and the Lord took him back to memory when he was a young boy, a young teen, and his dad was already gone out of the house. His mother was out partying. His older sisters, who were supposed to be taking care of him, were out partying. He's home alone. He goes into the kitchen and grabs a knife and goes into the living room to watch TV because he's terrified. And in the memory, he goes, something walked in the room. And we go, ask Holy Spirit, what was it? He goes, dude, it's death. And it's really weird. He loved dark, dark music and all that. And then we just prayed against that death. Okay, so... And he's doing well now. He's a spiritual son of ours. But years later, it's uncanny when you hear some of the stories and the similarities of what the enemy does in people's lives. We're listening. We're talking to a young man again.
We're ministering in a workshop.
Yeah.
And I think this was a marriage workshop, and it was the husband. Yeah.
I can't even remember the details, mm-hmm. where we were or whatever. But we're listening, and he's saying, I'm a young, maybe in my teens, and my dad is already out of the house, and my mom is out partying. She leaves us all the time. And I was supposed to be watching. I was home alone. And the only difference was, he said, I went into the kitchen and grabbed two knives. Really, that was the only significant difference in their stories. And we're looking at each other like,
both of us, we know what this one is.
And
it's
I'm sitting
the same
there
thing.
Terrified. But instead of saying anything, we said, ask the Lord. Ask the Lord what it was. Anybody want to guess what came into the room to him? Spirit of death. But he heard it from God. Yeah. He goes away knowing he has a God, the Spirit of God, available to him when he does not have us available. When I tell you what I think, I'm making you dependent on me. When I help you listen to God. I'm making you dependent on Him and trust in Him.
And we want you to go home individually. You can all do this. You can actually do this as a family, but everybody put on some soaking music and take just a little bit of time to be still. And then ask the Lord, get out a piece of paper and a pen, ask the Lord to write you a letter from Him to you. I did this at a Graham Cook conference one time. Do you know who Graham Cook is? And he said, do this for 2 weeks. And I did it. And at the end, I was going, oh, you know. Later, I went back and read it, and I was weeping because God was talking to me. And so don't second guess yourself. Don't go, oh, this isn't me, because that was my unbelief. That was a spirit of unbelief getting in that keeps us from believing that God is going to speak. Of course He wants to speak to us. So try that. You can do it as a family. Do it as singles. Get together and do that one evening and then read it out loud to one another. It's so amazing. And then pray and you have a whole nice little evening together.
So Father, we thank You for the gift of Your Spirit that You gave Jesus. Jesus earned the privilege to pour out the Spirit of God upon us. Please don't let us take that for granted. Don't let us forget it. Let us learn more and more ways how to benefit from this wonderful, powerful gift You've given us to live in this life, to live wholly separated from this world in this life. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's message. For updates on future episodes, make sure to subscribe to our podcast and leave us a review to let us know how we're doing. For more information about Awake Church, visit awakechurch.com.